Welcome, everyone. Welcome to those of you who are online and just joining us now. We are going to continue in worship, and we're going to begin with a scripture reading as God's greeting. This is the way that Jesus greeted his disciples right after they'd abandoned him. But he had been raised from the dead, and this is what he says to them. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." May he greet you that way this morning. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Let's do our call to worship together. Sin and death have been defeated. Lost are being found. Peace is being offered. Our triune God does these things. Amen. We're going to say the Apostles' Creed together as another form of our worship. Let's do this together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, this morning in the singing portion of our worship, much of it focused on seeing you in creation and creation celebrating you and your people having the chance to join in with that. And we do that now. We cast our minds back to the sunsets we have seen or the sunrises that you have splashed on our windshields as we've driven to work or in our windows as we've looked out with our coffee in the morning. And we have been drawn into worship and celebrating the way that you paint the sky with your creativity and light. And Lord, I take that to be a picture of what you are doing and want to do in each individual life, splashing color and light into our lives and revealing your glory and your beauty. Would you do that again this morning here? Would you take each life, all the broken pieces and the pieces we think are together, and would you put your light and your beauty on top of all of it? Would you rearrange them in such a way that the focus becomes you and not on ourselves, not on dry bones, not on places where we have yet to live? Would you put our focus on you? And may we watch you breathe new life into those places and splash your beauty and light across them. In Jesus' name, amen. In order to do that, what I'd like us to do is take a moment of reflection, but not just reflection in the sense of my own personal thoughts coming to mind. What I'd like to do is offer God an opportunity to speak to us individually as we pray. This week, as I was praying, this picture came to mind of my living room. And in the corner of the living room was a giant golden statue in my picture in my mind. And it looked like an Oscar, the award, the movies, right? looked like the Oscar trophy. And what came to mind eventually was, this is an image of your pride, Benjamin. And there, that opposes God's presence, right? We can't have both in our living rooms, in our lives. God says in Isaiah that I dwell with those who are lowly and contrite, those who are humble, those who humble themselves. A couple of weeks ago, a number of people heard this, but Joel stood up in the service and articulated it, that God had been speaking to us and saying it's time to empty ourselves. God can't fill, or chooses not to fill, however you want to put that, something or someone who's already full, right? So let's take a moment to ask God, what are the things in our living room? What are the things that are in the way at the moment? How can we humble ourselves in such a way that we empty ourselves in order that we might be filled? Let's take a moment and ask God those questions. Lord, we want to be a church that welcomes you with worship, like the rock star coming home. We want to welcome you every moment. But after the welcoming, we need to make room for you to remain and to make yourself at home. So Lord, this morning we humble ourselves before you to say you are God and we are not. Say that you are in charge and we submit. To say that this is about your name being great, not our own reputations. That you are the star of the show, not us. Lord, would you continue to speak to us about the ways that we displace you in our lives? We don't want to do that. We don't want to displace you anymore. We want to make room. Lord, would you come? Just as you came, and we celebrated and sang this morning and reminded ourselves through the creed that you come humbly. And so we need to come humbly to you. That you give us the power to welcome you or not, to make room for you or not. That in a sense, the level of our own relationship with you, it doesn't depend on you. You've already offered everything. So Lord, would you help us to see what's still in the way in order that we may have more of you? So may the cry of our hearts be like John the Baptist. He must increase, he must decrease. For the sake not only of our personal relationship with you, not only for the sake of your church and what you are doing here, but for the sake of the world. You placed each of us individually and us as a church in particular locations because you have purposes for us. To redeem a whole creation, and you want to work through your people. So Lord, thank you for the privilege of being incorporated into the body of Christ. Help us be the part that we are, play the part well, so that Jesus is represented well, so that your work is done here in the world through us, a people who are humble enough to say, it wasn't me, it was Jesus. Lord, as we open the scriptures now, as we reflect on what it means to be the body of Christ, would you speak? All my words will be inadequate. It's up to you to fill a gap between my words and your word and the hearts of each person here. We can only do it with you. Would you illumine our minds, enlighten the eyes of our hearts. Would you open our ears in order that we might see and hear and experience you and know what it is that you are calling us to, what you're putting your finger on, what our next steps are, how you want to work through your church in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Please grab your Bibles. We've been doing a pretty close reading over the last number of weeks of 1 Corinthians. We started in chapter 12 and then moved on from there. So I hope you've got those Bibles together or in front of you. I don't normally check my text messages during a sermon, but I asked Marco to text me if there were any sound issues because we had sound issues last week, but he hasn't sent me anything, so it looks like we're good. Let me remind you of what we've been chatting about lately, because we've been focusing specifically on these chapters because of what God has been doing among us here lately. And these chapters help us to understand them, understand the things that God is doing, and to be equipped for what God is doing in the world and wants to do through us at the moment. So we've been looking at the situation in Corinth, and this was a very troubled church, They're just going at one another constantly. There's constant bickering and arguments and competition. They're using their spiritual gifts as ways of puffing themselves up and making them playing the status game back and forth constantly. It's a popularity contest, and they do it in a worship service, which is really sad and pathetic, but also probably more characteristic than we realize of what actually does happen in church at times. And this is happening for them. And so the Apostle Paul writes this long part of the letter, chapters 12, 13, and 14, all addressing this one issue of what's happening in the church right now in their Sunday morning worship services. The things that I just talked about, the way that they're using spiritual gifts, but they're not using love. They've forgotten about love. They're prioritizing the wrong spiritual gifts, and the worship service has become a competition. And Paul has to reframe spiritual gifts for this church and reframe the each person's role within the church, because they're focusing on the gift of tongues at the moment. And it's become this chaotic worship disaster, really, where they're using tongues to make one another, to make themselves, each person individually, make themselves feel good and have this great worship experience with God. But it's actually they're using it as a competition between them, and then they're alienating the other people, either who can't speak in tongues or most people who can't understand what anyone else is saying. And God isn't overly honored by this, actually. And Paul says, you guys need to focus on the greater gifts instead of the ones that are just building you up. What does he mean by greater gifts? It means the gift that's going to build someone else in the room up instead of just yourself. And he uses the metaphor of the body of Christ. This is not the only place it's found in scripture, but it's one of the most, probably the most lengthy description of the body of Christ and the way that the different parts interact. And he says, you're each part of a body, and each part of the body has a gift. And so he uses the body part, both to stand for the person and also to stand for the gift. You are not your gift. That's not your identity. Your identity is in Christ, but he has given you a gift, and the gifts relate to one another, which is why he uses this body metaphor of each part contributes to the body. We all need all of the different parts of the body. But he says that some parts are greater, because those greater gifts are the ones that actually bless the other parts of the body and serve the other parts of the body. And tongues doesn't as readily lend itself to building up other people as it does building up the person who's praying in tongues. And so that's his emphasis in chapter 12. Make sure that you're focusing on the greater gifts that are actually going to serve the body really well. And then he moves into chapter 13. And we talked last week about how this isn't sort of an aside that has nothing to do with spiritual gifts in chapter 12 and spiritual gifts in chapter 14. It's all one unit of thought. And this love chapter is about love being the way that we go about using our spiritual gifts. You can use a spiritual gift that God has given you without love. But Paul says the problem is it doesn't actually benefit you. And it ends up being a liability that you have instead. So the chapter 13 is still about, still very much about the gifts, but these people are going about doing the right things with the wrong way. They're using their gifts, but they're not using them with love to build up the church. And so the more excellent way that Paul talks about, I will show you still a more excellent way, and then continues talking about love, is not love as opposed to the gifts. It's love being the way that we use those gifts. I want to clarify something, actually correct something that I said last week. I said gifts without love is dangerous, which is true, as illustrated by this church that's very messed up in Corinth. But then I said love without gifts is impotent. And I need to correct that. That's not true. Love is not impotent. So I shouldn't have said that. What I was trying to get at is that when you combine the gift that you have with the love that God pours out into you for the sake of the world, that's an amazing synergy. And that's what I should have said, that we should have love. And when we combine love with the gifts God has given in order to build up the body, that's when it just becomes beautiful and dynamic. So it's love and gifts together. And now we move into chapter 14. So let me just summarize chapter 14 first. You need to keep chapter 12 in mind. Gifts and body go together. You need to keep chapter 13 in mind, that it's gifts and love go together. But chapter 14 is where these things start to come together. And he says, pursue the greater gifts. And he's going to focus on prophecy as one example, the primary example of how gifts with love can be used to build up an entire church body. So today we're just going to ask, what's prophecy and why would Paul emphasize this? So I'm going to start with the last verse of chapter 13, and then we're just going to read the first 12 verses of chapter 14. So you know chapter 13 well, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. But he ends with, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And so then he continues in 14, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, builds themselves up. But the one who prophesies edifies or builds up the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Interesting. But I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets. Because when it's tongues plus interpretation, it becomes a prophecy. That's what he's saying. So the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified, may be built up. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and I speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? In the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or the harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in notes? In other words, unless you get it, unless it's understandable. Again, if the trumpet does not sound out a clear call, who will get ready for battle? And so it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You'll just be speaking to the air. Now, undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. But if I then do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I'm like a foreigner speaking to the person, and the speaker becomes a foreigner to me. In other words, we're not getting each other. We're not understanding what the person is saying. And so it is with you. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. And we'll stop there for today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God indeed. Paul wanted his church to hear from God. And the really fascinating thing is that he wanted his church to hear from God through the people in the pews. Not just through the guy with the microphone up on the stage. He wanted his church to hear from God, and not just through the scriptures, but from the people in the pews. It has to be filtered through scripture, and we'll talk about that later. But God wanted his church to hear from him through one another. That's you, my friends. And it wasn't a low priority for God. It's quite a high priority, actually. That's why he calls it one of the greater gifts. But prophecy has been misunderstood. We come and we view this word prophecy, and primarily the first thing that comes to mind for most people when you hear the word prophecy is prediction about the future. And that's not what prophecy is primarily. It's hardly ever about the future. It's primarily about what God is doing in the present. So if you look at the prophets in the Old Testament, most of what they're talking about isn't the future, actually. I know that gets highlighted quite a bit for us, but if you actually just read through the prophets, they're mostly talking about what's currently going on in and among the people of God and what God wants to say about what they're currently experiencing. It's a word for the moment, sometimes for the future, primarily for the moment. So prophecy rightly understood, let me just give it to you at its most basic. Prophecy rightly understood is just listening to God and then speaking what he says. And most often it's about what's currently going on, not the future. It's listening to God and speaking what he says. Can anyone do that? Anyone can do that. It's about focusing on what he's currently saying right now, what he's currently doing right now. It's a prophecy, in other words, is a way of helping people to tune in to what God's doing in the moment so that we can keep in step with what he's currently doing. That would be a really helpful tool, wouldn't it? If there were more people who were paying attention to what God is currently saying and what he is currently doing so that we could keep up with what he's currently saying and currently doing. That sounds really useful. Not just what he said in the past, but what he's saying in the moment. I think we could use more of that. Let me give you just two examples from my week this week where I heard prophetic words from other people. So I was praying with a group of guys on Monday night, and I had been praying about some of the things I was struggling with, my own sense of inadequacy and some other things, and just not feeling up to the task of some things that God felt like God was asking. And my friend Ola, who has a very deep, he is Nigerian, has a very deep voice, and he speaks up after and starts praying and reflecting and saying that God had been focusing him in his reflective time, his personal devotional time that week, on how he had been focusing on the dry bones. So he's reflecting on Ezekiel's vision in Ezekiel 37. And in Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel is looking out at a graveyard, basically a valley of dry bones. Like people had just been annihilated. They're everything had decomposed. He's just looking at dry bones in this vision. And Ola said, I had been telling God over and over again how dry these bones were and how much that related to our current culture. He started naming just the problems in our world right now. And God's like, you're focusing on the dry bones, but focus on verse 1 instead of verse 2. You know what verse 1 says? The Lord picked up Isaiah and put him in that valley. And then if you read the whole vision, he put him there in order to do something new through him. And I heard that and I thought, that's for me too. I was focusing on the problems. But that's not the prophecy. The prophecy isn't just the problems. The prophecy is what God wants to do about it in the moment through you. For me, I received that and was so encouraged. I went home with just like a smile on my face, having heard that, all because someone paid attention, not just to scripture, but paid attention to what God was saying in the moment, not just about the problems, but about what he wants to do about it. That's prophecy, friends. And prophecy is not just for prophets. And you know this if we just talk about other gifts for a second before we talk about prophecy. People operate more in certain spiritual gifts, in one or two spiritual gifts than they do in other spiritual gifts. So my default is I teach, right? That's one of my main spiritual gifts. That's the way God's designed me to operate. And some of you are not necessarily teachers, which means you're probably not going to land up here. But all of you had to teach someone how to do something, didn't you? You had to teach someone how to ride a bike. You had to teach someone how to save time at work. You had to train someone. All of you have moments in your weeks, probably, where you become a teacher because of the role that God has you in. Every parent has to be a teacher, right? Anyone who is a leader has to be a teacher to train other people, right? So whether or not you have the gift of teaching, God puts you in certain places and then says, you're going to have to teach. You're going to have to do it. And he will equip you for the things that he has called you to. So some of us are going to gravitate towards roles where we use our gift of teaching in that specific role. But all of you are going to have to learn to teach. Some of you have the gift of service, you know, if you want to call it that, where you prefer to be behind the scenes supporting everything else. But no one gets a pass here on doing the dishes, right? Some of us are going to default that way more than others, where we prefer to be there. That's sort of our place and our thing. But all of us still have to do the dishes. All of us still have chores to do, right? So think about spiritual gifts that way. So serving isn't just for servers. Teaching isn't just for teachers. Encouragement. When someone comes to you and they're crying because they've had a hard week, you don't go, I need to find someone with the gift of encouragement and point you to them. Like, that would be ridiculous, right? No, in the moment, your job is now to be the encouraging person, right? Whether you have that spiritual gift or not. Does that make sense? Think about prophecy in the same way. This is my family texting me, so now I'm going to turn it off. Sorry about that. Think about prophecy in the same way to those other gifts that we just talked about and the examples I just used. All of you will teach. All of you will encourage. All of you will serve. But not all of you will have the default gift where that's primarily where I want to land. Okay. Prophecy is the same way. Some of you are prophets and have that default where this is the area I'm going to land, but all of you can prophesy. All of you have the ability and the calling to listen to God, get his heart for something, and then speak his words in such a way that it encourages and builds up a body. Not all of you are going to get deep revelations about the future, but that's not primarily what prophecy is. It's primarily about what's going on in the present, getting God's heart for it, listening to him, and then when he gives you the green light, you share it with someone in order to encourage and build up the body. You can all do this. In fact, I want to show you in scripture, in the scriptures that we just read, that you should be doing this. And you can do this. So look at verse 5. I'd like every one of you to speak in tongues, which is an interesting point that I'm not going to preach. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. Every one of you. What is the implication of that? If he wants every one of us to do it, every one of us can. Or can be taught how to. In fact, not only can we, and can we do it or can we be taught, but very much through this whole section of chapter 12, 13, and 14, he is encouraging the church specifically to pursue this gift of prophecy. Not the gift of teaching, not the gift of encouragement, not the gift of hospitality, the gift of prophecy. And why? As he says over and over and over again in this passage, Do it so that the body is built up. Don't do it for yourself. Do it for the other people in the pews. Do it for them. I've already said this is one of the greater gifts because it builds up the body. I've said it's available to all. Okay, let me back up a bit. Prophecy does take a willingness to learn. All gifts actually need to be developed, right? We just don't have this latent gift that's going to suddenly explode on the scene fully developed. And you're just going to, you know, like all of our gifts need to be stewarded and developed in order to grow, in order to serve the body well. So if you come out of this service today being convinced by the Holy Spirit, not by Ben, but by Scripture and the Holy Spirit, that actually I should be pursuing prophecy, I should be asking for it. That doesn't mean that you just click the button to download the file and then your software will suddenly, you know, once it's fully downloaded, your hardware will now operate that software at full capacity. This is something that's going to take time to learn and to develop. But it starts by being willing to learn. I have emphasized these verses, but I want to show them again. Flip back a page to chapter 12, verse 31. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially that you would prophesy. Look at verse 12 of chapter 14. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those for the building up of the church. Look at verse 39 of chapter 14. Be eager to prophesy. It's the same word, actually. Three times it's the verb to be zealous, and one time it's the noun that since you are a zealot, since you are a zealous person. What's the concept that Paul is trying to get across by using the same word over and over again and making it basically a command? This is really, really important to God, and he wants us to actually be passionate about it. That starts by asking. It starts by recognizing it in Scripture, which is why it gets repeated four times there, and why I took the time to read those things. But Paul, God, they've been repeating themselves through this section. Prophecy is deeply important to the health and the body of the bodily health of the local church. And why is that? Because prophecy is just listening to God and then speaking what you have heard for the benefit of others. That's prophecy, and anyone can do it. Now, why? Why prophecy? Why do we need anything more than the Bible? Well, I don't know that that's the best question, to be honest. God doesn't need anything, right? He doesn't need our gifts. Doesn't need you, doesn't need your gifts, doesn't need me, doesn't need mine. But maybe a better question would be, why has God designed the body? And has God designed the body, chapter 12, the body of the church, in such a way that prophecy has a prominent place? Is that the case? It certainly looks that way from Scripture, as we've seen in the last 3 weeks. So if he has designed the body to need prophecy, or to that prophecy would have a prominent place in building up the body, should we not pursue it? He gave it a very prominent place. And why did he do so? This is just my own suspicion, so this isn't a say of the Lord or anything like that, but prophecy is a deeply relational gift. It's deeply relational because it requires a close relationship with God where you are in tune with what he is currently saying and doing. And it's deeply relational because even after we have heard from God, we then have to share it with the body. I think that's why it becomes such an intricate and integral gift to the body. Because of that, God is deeply relational himself, right? And he wants his people to operate in that same way. So that's just my own suspicion. Okay. Some of you may be wrestling at this point with, okay, but how do I start doing this? I think I buy the case that you're making, the case that I see in scripture here, that we should be zealous for this gift, that it should be operational in the church, that it is for the sake of the other people here, that it's by design and so on for the body. But how do I start? Well, that's primarily next week. I'll chat more about that. It would take too long to do this week. This week is just much more about what is prophecy and why is it important. But again, it starts with asking. Eagerly desire or pursue the greater gifts, as is said in scripture, means that if you ask with the right motivation, it's very likely God will grant you that gift. What does James say? You have not because you ask not, or you ask then, and then he goes on and says, or you ask with the wrong motives, right? Wouldn't that apply to spiritual gifts as well? If we have a heart to bless the other people in this room and we ask God, would you give me your love and then new giftings or ways to show that love in order to build up the other people in this room? He thinks God's going to be like, no. Is that the God that we know? God is not stingy, right? And God wants to share his heart with his people. God wants to share his words with his people. That's prophecy. He'll do it for you. I like to give you a prophetic word. God wants Unity Baptist to learn to hear his voice. It's just been so clear in the last number of months, over and over again. God wants his people to learn to listen to his voice. And God wants us to learn how to speak it to others. And he is beginning to do this here at the church. He's beginning to distribute those gifts that we hadn't necessarily seen or experienced in this way before. And he wants to build up this body using gifts like prophecy and other greater gifts. And he will use you. You. Not the guy up on stage with the microphone necessarily. He'll use you. The point of the passage is that Paul wants each other, all of the people here, to build up one another. And the more that we listen and the more that we can share that with others, the more the body will be built up. Now, how do I know that that's prophecy? I started that by saying that I have a prophetic word for you. Probably didn't sound overly prophetic to you, but maybe our definitions need to change a little bit. But how do I know that that's prophecy? Well, I listened to God. And I confirmed it in the scriptures. I've also heard it from others. I've tested it with people, including our regional minister, Terry Fawson. I'm also seeing God do these things already here. And it's not just something that he will do down the road. It's something he's currently doing at the moment. And I'm seeing the way that the body is being built up by it. That checks a lot of boxes. Any of you can do that. Any of you can do it. Let me give you the most recent example I have seen of this. It showed up in my inbox this week. A number of you, well, most of you probably know Noah Kadu and remember that he was recently baptized and then commissioned and sent off to the difficult task of going to Hawaii to study. So he's going he's at YWAM now, Youth with a Mission. So he's studying missions right now. He's studying who God is, his heart and so on, and how he wants to use people in the world. And that's preparation for being sent out to the mission field. And we sent him, we as Unity sent him We raised money here together and sent him. We have sent him with prayers. We have sent him with blessings. He's one of us. And he sent an update this week from his phone. So the quality probably isn't going to be that high. But he just wanted to give you an update on how he's doing. And you will see very quickly how this ties in with what we've been talking about. And this was unsolicited, friends. So this is, I think it's from God too. So you're going to see how this relates to what we've just been chatting about.
Hello, everyone. I just wanted to give an update to everyone on how I am doing here. You can see how beautiful it is in the background with the sunset and the ocean. But God has just really been moving in my life here in very powerful ways. I've received so many words of knowledge, so much prophecy, and I have been prophesying over others and just spreading God's love as much as I can right now while we're still learning from all the different speakers about so many different topics, from God's character, heart of the Father, Holy Spirit. And I've been learning a lot and been trying to implement that into my life currently, living true to the Word of God through all things that I do. So after, I've got about a little over a month left on the island, and then I'll be heading to Cameroon for about a month, and there we'll be working during the Africa Cup for soccer, and we'll be helping through that and be ministering to people there as well. And then for another month I will be in San Francisco helping. There's the largest Chinese church in the world there, and our group is going to be helping out in San Francisco as well. So I would very much appreciate your continued prayers and support through these times. There's a lot of stressful things that can lead into this, and I just pray that any worries or concerns that would be completely gone, and that we'd just be able to go in there and serve and spread the gospel to all those who need it in those two places, Cameroon and San Francisco. I thank you so much for being able to be here. I'm so thankful. This has been truly life-changing for me, and I just can't thank everyone enough. So thank you.
You see the light on his face, the light in his eyes? God is doing things. A young guy, one of us. Very cool. Did you hear what he said? I've been prophesying over others and spreading God's love as much as I can. It's not love or spiritual gifts, and anyone can do it. This guy only got baptized a few weeks ago. I said, anyone can do this. That's not to put him down or something like that. I'm just saying that we can very quickly grow in something like this as we learn to listen and speak God's heart over other people as well. But that's what God's inviting us to do. It's the way the body's designed. Let's pray. Lord, first of all, I thank you for what you're doing in Noah's life. I see your hand there in so many ways, and we've just seen it ourselves as we've heard what he has shared about what you're doing in his life, the way that you're using him to be a blessing to others, the way he's hearing your voice and hearing you say, go share this with this person. I thank you for the way that he desires to share your love with other people and serve others in need. And I pray in advance for these trips that are coming up, that as he has been in the classroom and practicing in a safe place, I pray that you be equipping him for these next steps where they go out to Africa, where they go down to the States and share your love. And use the gifts that you are giving them to do so. I pray that, like he says, you would you would remove all anxiety and worry about those different things coming up, and that you would equip them with everything that they need, that they, that you would go before them preparing what the good works that you want them to do, and that you would go with them in that time, showing them how to use their gifts and share your love with others. Lord, I pray that you would make us a church that builds one another up as we hear your voice and share it with others. May it always and only be done in and with love for you and with love for one another, in order that the body might be built up and operate the way that you have designed us to. And may that be the case so that the world sees, so that the world is blessed by a body of Christ that continues to do the things that Christ was doing here among us. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Blessings to those of you online. Go in peace. Have a great week. Thanks for joining us.